Kringle Talks Christmas is a proud member of the Christmas Podcast Network. You can find all of our episodes on ChristmasPodcastNetwork.com and follow us on Twitter at Christmas Talks. That's KRISTMAS Talks. This is our new Christmas episode. Sit back, grab a hot drink, relax, and enjoy.
Welcome to Kringle Talks Christmas.
Today's episode is all about the classic Christmas UK number one, Do They Know It's Christmas Time? By Pandaid. Now, later in the show, I'll be joined by Adam from Merry Britsmas to discuss all things UK Christmas and a little more about the song. But let's start here. Do They Know It's Christmas Time is a song written by Bob Geldof and Midge Ure. It was first released on November 29th, 1984.
It's Christmas time. There's no need to
by the super group Band-Aid, formed to raise money for the anti-famine efforts in Ethiopia. The song gained immense popularity and topped the charts in multiple countries. The song was initiated by Geldof, who was inspired to raise funds for famine relief after watching a BBC documentary on the Ethiopian famine. He collaborated with Ure to compose the song and brought together various artists to form Band-Aid. The song features vocals from prominent artists of the time, including Bono, George Michael and Sting, among others. Now, I am going to continue on this conversation about Band-Aid, but I am now delighted to welcome Adam onto Kringle Talks Christmas. Adam, as you well know, is the voice of Merry Britsmas, a fellow UK-based Christmas podcaster, and one of the various reasons I started Kringle Talk Christmas, as I felt there wasn't enough UK-based Christmas podcasts representing all things UK at Christmas time. Adam, how are you, mate? Thank you for joining me. How's everything?
Yeah, I'm really good. I'm enjoying the colder weather, feeling a bit more Christmassy now. Started getting some decorations out, started eating lots of mince pies. I say started eating lots of mince pies. I've been eating mince pies for probably about a month now already. So feeling very festive. Yeah, yourself?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Had my Christmas decorations up 2 or 3 days ago. Went down to my mum's over the weekend. Helped her put hers up. And like you, I've been eating, well, I think I've been eating mince pies since probably when Greg's bought them out, reintroduced them, which was probably, probably about a month ago. Nobody in my household likes mince pies other than me, and they only ever sell them in six packs. So
you've got to have all six. Basically. Yeah, exactly. My wife has sort of got a strict, you know, no Christmas snacks policy until end of November. So I just have to keep eating them myself. Yeah, it's fine. It's all right. I'll do what must be done.
Well, exactly. Listen, if we can take one for the team around Christmas time, it's perfect. Cool. So like I said, thank you for joining me. Obviously, we're both UK Christmas podcasters. I don't know if there's many other out there. I haven't seen too many, if I'm honest. But what made you decide to start a Christmas podcast firstly? What kind of influences do you have beforehand? If so, who were they?
Yeah, it was 5 years ago, last week, I think, was when I started it, which I was a bit shocked by. It was 5 years ago. And I think I was quite sporadic in the first couple of years, but it sort of came about. I just loved Christmas, as most Christmas podcasters do. My family, especially my mom, is Christmas obsessive. She always, you know, around as soon as November hits, decorations up, texting me pictures of every decoration, everything she sees in the shop, mince pies she'd been eating. And so I've had that in my blood. And then started listening to some Christmas podcasts, probably around 2014, 2015. The Christmas Past podcast was one of the first ones I really started listening to. There's a couple of another American podcasts that I was sort of checking out. The Deck the Hallmark one, I think, was sort of around then maybe starting. And I didn't really know much about Hallmark movies over here. They're not really a thing, but it made me want to watch some of those. Then just more, it seemed like there was just a bit of an explosion of podcasts, but they were all American.
Yes.
And I for a long time, I was like, I'd love to start a podcast, but I had never really got into what I'd want to do. I'm a big fan of David Bowie, so I thought about doing a David Bowie one. And then I found someone had done an amazing one where they were covering every song. And I was like, well, I can't match that, so I can't do that one. And I was like, what else do I like? Christmas probably, so maybe I'll do Christmas. And my first thought was, but there's all these Christmas ones now, how can I compete? And they all sound so professional and cool and American. And then I realised, actually, none of them are British. None of them are talking about British Christmas. And listening to those podcasts made me realise how different it can be, and the different specials and films we have and music we have and food we have. There's a lot of differences there that I thought would be interesting to delve into and maybe try and share with people from not from Britain, to sort of say, you know, here are some things we do differently. Maybe you can try them. And from people from Britain for that nostalgia of Christmases over here and what we think of as a Christmas tradition or ideal that isn't shared maybe by people across the world. But it's so part of our Christmas that when we hear that song or put that special on or see that thing in the shops, we go, that's Christmas right now. So I just wanted to share that with my podcast. And then, got very excited about that and spent probably, I think my first episode must have been end of November. I think I was planning it since maybe October. I remember that year was around, it was before Halloween. I was like, okay, I'll put one out. And then took me about 2 months to figure out how to do it all and record it and what to write on there and what to say. And I'd made a big list of stuff I could talk about and had to cut it down to try and create some sort of cohesive podcast. And I think in my first one, I think I talked about the Royal Family Christmas special and mince pies, I think, and just tried to do a couple of touchstones of things that were very festive. I think maybe Slade as well, the Christmas song. So again, some real British Christmas stuff. Like I said, the first year or two, they were quite... I only put out two or three in like around Christmas time. And then it wasn't until I think the third year where I started doing a bit more and going kind of monthly, skipping January usually because I'm too depressed. and then putting out some extra ones around November, December as well.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, like you, and obviously I alluded to it at the start, you were one of the reasons, your podcast, one of the reasons why I decided to start my own channel as well. Because there's not many UK-based ones, it was like, well, you know, maybe I can sort of come along for the ride with you on your side of it.
Exactly. There's so many American ones, So there needs to be a few British ones. The only other one I can think of is Total Christmas Podcast. There's a guy called Jack runs it.
Okay.
But that's it, I think. It's just us three, I think.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're going to have to do a trio at some point because we've got to keep the brotherhood alive.
Exactly.
Because to be, I mean... I had Brian Earle on from the Christmas Past last year. Wonderful chat. And he was, again, one of the main focal points as to why I started, because at the time I decided to start a podcast on another genre of football, soccer, as you know, our American listeners call it. But
I believe you're an Arsenal fan as well.
I am an Arsenal fan, a very
Me
big
too.
Arsenal fan.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Brilliant.
That's it. Gunners forever. Yesterday, just to tie in the Christmas, and again, the American people probably won't know what we're talking about. I got a jumper for my dad as a through the post. There's a picture of Declan Rice, and it says Deck the Halls.
Brilliant.
Deck the Halls with a big red thing behind it. I was like, that's my new Christmas jumper I'm going to wear.
That is, you know what? I'm going to go fish that out and have a look for it myself because that is brilliant. But yeah, so I started just the football one and sort of got in touch with Brian at the time. Because I love the way he presents his podcast. It's very professional the way he does it. So I wanted to contact him, ask him what to do, how to set it up, etc. So it was kind of like a trial and error run on the football side of things. And then so when I sort of transitioned over to Christmas ones, it just felt a little bit easier and a bit more natural. And fortunately, when I did my first episode, which was about the Tomte, which is the like the little Christmas elves from Sweden, it felt pretty secure when I did it, and it was pretty straightforward. It didn't take me quite a while to get used to how to do it, so that was quite fortunate, really.
You had that bit of experience with the football one, and
exactly
that extra voice of support as well.
I think you touched on it anyway, but obviously similarly, what was the focus mainly on the UK? Is it literally similar to me, experience, you know, sharing our experience and nostalgia with everybody else? Because, you know, just alluding to having the conversation, which we're recording this just before the start of December, but I've just on the 1st of December, my episode with Jerry D from Totally Rad Christmas is going to air, and we discussed different songs from the UK and stuff that he'd never heard of, that obviously you and I, you know, I was listening to Christmas songs earlier whilst, you know, starting this episode up, but that you and I know very well, and he'd never heard of it. So, you know, just allowing us to sort of share that with the world is a great thing. So, is that sort of your main focus on the UK?
Yeah, that's what I want to do, is sort of say, here are these stuff that to us is Christmas and makes us feel so festive and joyous, or sometimes not, because as I allude to on my podcast, a lot of the Christmas stuff that we like is quite sad. A lot of their Christmas songs,
yes, you know,
Mud, Lonely This Christmas, and a lot of the Christmas TV shows always have some sort of cryy, weepy bit in them, even the comedies. But I want to share that with people and sort of get them to have a taste of it and maybe check some of the stuff out as well. Listen to the songs, add them to their playlists, or watch the specials if they're not from Britain. Or if they are British, yeah, get that feeling of, you know, oh, I remember this, or this was interesting. And what I try to do with each episode is have a... like a sort of a music bit, so a bit about a song, maybe a Christmas song, a bit about a Christmas TV special or film, and then something about a tradition or about something, you know, that's not one of those two, basically doesn't fit into those two categories. So I kind of try and cover a range of things, and it's gotten harder as time's gone on. At first I was like, you know, let's do the classics, The Vicar of Dibley and The Royal Family, Gavin and Stacey, Only Fools and Horses. And now I'm sort of like, okay, finding some weirder stuff now to share, and the stuff that people maybe even over here, some people don't know, potentially some older sitcoms and shows. But I like that. It's quite fun to sort of delve into those archives of British Christmas stuff.
I mean, that sort of matches hand in hand quite swimmingly into my next question, because, you know, some of the episodes that you've put out, even I've sort of gone back and gone, I don't remember that, you know, Christmas special, or I'm going to have to go and watch it now. But yeah, I mean, how do you decide on your episodes? Is it a case of remembering stuff from your childhood, or is it just a case of, you know, searching the internet of different UK Christmas specials and sort of going, oh God, that's, I can't put that out there. Or, you know, I'm definitely going to have to talk about this at some point.
It's a mixture of things. At first, it was definitely what are my favourites, and sort of, you know, here are the classics, here are the ones I watch every year that I watch with my parents that make me feel that festive spirit. So The Royal Family, Gavin and Stacey, and stuff that I really loved personally that make, like, I go back and watch every year, like The Inbetweeners or Peep Show, Father Ted, and the Christmas songs, obviously the classics like Slade and The Pogues. And then as it went on, I started to think, right, let's try and get a bit more obscure or outside the box. And so sometimes it would just be, because at Christmas I do just watch so much stuff, and I'm always looking out for new stuff in the Radio Times. Talk about the Radio Times. So if I see something, I'm like, oh, I'll make a note of that. Maybe I'll talk about that on the pod at some point in the future, make a little note. Yeah. You know, I've got a little sort of ongoing list and keep a book with some notes in. The same with songs. And recently, actually, I've been doing more research for songs because I've been running out of the classic British Christmas songs that other people might not know. I've been trying to do covers of American Christmas songs by British artists, or find, I've got a massive running playlist on Spotify of alternative British Christmas songs from indie artists and pop artists, and covers that they've done for like the Radio 1 and BBC and stuff, that maybe other people haven't heard those versions because they're by British artists. So yeah. I do keep a big list of that I'll just sort of pull from and take little bits when I'm trying to come up with a podcast idea. So lots of different, yeah, it started off just my memories and biggest favorite stuff, and now it's branched out into, okay, do a bit of research or make that, add that to the list as I spot it. So I've got quite a growing list of TV specials and songs now that I just can dip into when I need an idea for the next podcast.
Yeah, see that, I mean, that's like me kind of at the very start it was like, wicked, I've got so many different ideas and so many different topics to talk about, because I kind of tried to venture into a similar way that Brian at Christmas Past has done it, where it's kind of like a little bit of storytelling, a little bit of history, a little bit of tradition on essentially British Christmas items, whether it's you know, the Wassail Bowl or, you know, Christmas caroling, it's, you know, how it kind of started, you know, even, you know, Christmas markets that we associate as a Christmas, an English thing, but it's obviously not, it's a Bavarian, it's a German thing initially. And the sort of going through the different ideas and different topics, and like you say, you know, going through the research now of finding completely different things that even I didn't know of, you know.
Yeah. Really.
And, you know, my recent episode just dropped of Lapland, and I actually only just found out like a couple of months ago that there's a Lapland in the UK.
Exactly. Which is, like, I didn't know about it until exciting. Your podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's super exciting. I was like, oh, wow, this is, I mean, equally as expensive, don't get me wrong, but it's just, it makes
much
it
closer.
Yeah, exactly. It makes it a lot easier to actually get to for us.
Yeah.
But going, you know, going again, swimmingly hand in hand with what you just mentioned about music, etc. Today's episode is kind of focused and centered around Band-Aid's Do They Know It's Christmas Time, which obviously you and I will be very, very familiar with, not a lot of people maybe over in the States might be, although, you know, there was the collaboration with We Are the World and the Live Aid concert to do with Philadelphia in 1985. What do you remember of that song growing up?
It was ever present. You know, I was born in the late 80s, so it just come around a couple of years before. And so as a child growing up, it was one of those that was on the Christmas compilation. We had a Christmas, you know, I think it was a Now That's What They Call Christmas CD growing up. That was always on the, well, I remember very little having it on record, on vinyl in the front room. We had a big massive stereo setup in the corner behind the Christmas tree, and then the CD, which had, you know, all the classics on, and that was in the top, like usually one of the first four or five songs, I'm pretty sure. So it was that song that again makes me think of Christmas, even though, you know, as I got older, it sort of, I think I turned against it a bit as a teenager. I thought it was a bit too cheesy, a bit too you know, the people in it were a bit, oh, those artists, those old 80s artists that I don't care about. And then just the angsty teenager in me being a bit rebellious. I remember actively being like, oh, don't put this song on at Christmas, when I was like 14, 15, and my mom, you know, telling me off quite, you know, lovingly, being, give me a slap around the head, like, what are you talking about? And then realizing it's just a lovely song. It's just a great song, a great bit of songwriting with actually a wonderful range of artists. And my mom, one of her favorite, well, I think her favorite singer in the world was George Michael. And she had all of his CDs, and she played them all the time in the car and all the time at home. And so, you know, she'd always sort of, when his bit came up on the song, she'd do a big, you know, big sing along to that, make me sing along to that bit. So I always remember that George Michael moment in the song. And when he appears, and my mom, you know, being like, oh, it's George Michael, let's sing along now. So maybe that's why I angered her when I told her to turn it off one Christmas when I was a teenager.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, like, growing, I mean, I'm a 90s baby. I'm the very start of the 90s. So, but my dad's quite a bit older. So growing up, a lot of those artists were stuff, you know, artists I listened to quite regularly. One of them, you know, my favorite artist growing up, for those who won't know in America, but Status Quo were one of my favorite artists growing up. And they're in the video, although they don't have a prominent piece, they're in the video. And it's always funny whenever I watch the video, because there's a bit with the lead singer, Francis Rossi. He's sort of doing something. I can't quite work out what he's actually doing, but he gets caught by the camera doing it. And then he realizes the camera's on him and has a little piece of the camera and laughs at it. And it's just always, you know, every time I watch it, I just sort of chuckle every time I see that. You know, going through the actual episode, talking about the sort of reasoning behind the song itself. And again, you know, it's such a nostalgic song. It's such a brilliant song. But obviously, there's a great message behind it. And as a kid growing up, you just didn't even relate to it, did you? Like, no, I don't know if you did. I didn't. You know, you didn't really.
It wasn't part of it. It was just the Christmas song.
Exactly. And obviously, you know, they did three other ones. They did one in, you know, a few years later with a very, very weird 80s techno beat type kind of arrangement. 2014, they had a rap piece by Dizzy Rascal.
I remember that one, definitely. That was my teenage years, so
I actually really liked that version.
I like that one. I think, again, at the time, it was like, a few of my friends were like, it's not cool, but I secretly liked it and would play it definitely at home. I think my sister had it on CD single, so I'm pretty sure we played it at home around that time.
And then they actually bought another one out 2014 to celebrate 30th year one, which I didn't actually realize, or maybe I did, I just forgot about. But you know, it featured Seal, and it featured Ed Sheeran and other artists. But you know, that first original one will always be the original one.
That's the one that's played the most still.
Exactly. I mean, I think the other ones do get played, but it's kind of like, it's kind of like the 1 o'clock in the morning type playlist where everyone has gone to bed and no one really listening now.
I remember when I was at university, I worked for the student radio station. You know, obviously ties into my podcasting love now. I was on the radio then. And I don't know who came up with it, whoever was running the radio station at the time. I think I was in my second year of uni, and we decided to record a version of Do They Know It's Christmas, but changing the lyrics about our radio station called Sonar Radio, is Southampton University and Southampton Solent. And we changed all the lyrics. I remember doing a bit of that and helping record it. And again, it's just that, it's just ingrained in our culture that those sort of things happen, where that's just, everyone knows it. It's a cultural touch point that everyone there know the lyrics, everyone knows the song, everyone's there for it. And when we put it out, we got, you know, quite a lot of hits on YouTube at the time. And so you've got this just cultural connection with it in the British veins, so to speak.
That's cool, actually. That's pretty cool. I mean, I didn't do I wish I did uni. I never went to uni, but I wish I did uni, kind of like, I think I'd be similar. I think I'd do like the radio side of things. I think I'd be, you know, like you see in American like colleges where they've got like a whole newspaper team and they got a whole, I mean, I'd love to do that kind
of. Yeah, that was my side of things. Yeah, I worked on the magazine. I worked on the radio station. That was helped out with the internet stuff. So that was my scene, basically. Yeah, the media stuff.
That's perfect. All right, so I'm going to wrap things up, if that's all right with you. Cool. Couple of questions I'm going to ask before I do the full wrap up. Favorite UK Christmas song?
See, it changes quite regularly, I'd say. But if I had to go for one, it's just tricky. As you've just thrown me a curveball that I can't answer.
You know what? It wasn't even on my question list, but I thought, let me just ask it.
Anyway. Yeah, I think recently, actually, I've been really enjoying again after kind of rediscovering Shaken Stevens' Merry Christmas, Everyone.
Such a great song.
It's just such a fun song. I was talking actually to Jerry about it recently on the podcast.
Yeah.
And I've got a vinyl of it that my mate bought me for Christmas last year, and it's an advent calendar vinyl. So it's like a big vinyl disc, and you can open up the front of the vinyl and it's all pictures of Shaken Stevens in different jumpers, basically.
That's awesome.
And it's just a brilliant song. Yeah, probably Shaken Stevens is my current favourite that I've listened to quite a lot this year.
That's a great song. I mean, in the obviously the song itself anyway, but there's a bit where he sings the chorus, he gets to the end of the chorus, and you think, oh, you know, that's going to fade out. And then he starts again the chorus, and it's just, it brings you right back into the song.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, my favorite, to be fair, is probably one of my favorite songs of all time anyway, is Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues.
Yeah, that is beautiful.
I've said it on my podcast recently. There's a version by an Irish artist called Christy Moore, and he just does it. He's actually performed it on Jules Holland, I believe. But it doesn't sound like a Christmas version, but with the actual nostalgia of the song involved, I listen to Christmas music
you
all year round,
it,
probably
yeah,
like yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can just listen to it all year round and not feel kind of like, oh, I hope nobody's listening to me listen to Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
What is your favorite Christmas TV episode? I know you've recorded and, you know, you've spoken about loads and loads and loads. But if
there's two that are competing. Which my runner-up would be Peep Show.
Okay.
It's an episode called Seasonal Beatings, if you ever watch Peep Show. I used to love Peep Show. I watched it all the time when I was a teenager, and it was hilarious, and there's a great Christmas episode that's kind of chaos in Christmas. But my number one that every year I watch it and I love it so much is The Royal Family, The New Sofa.
Yes.
Which is one of the Christmas specials they did a few seasons in, and it's where the Royal Family, so Jim and Barbara, go to Denise's house for Christmas, and they're putting on Christmas for the first time. And again, it's just everything goes wrong. They don't defrost the turkey, so they're sat with the turkey in the bath and trying to put it under the suntan bed. They're making carrots out of like dirty carrots from the dad's allotment. They burn the roast potatoes. It's just sort of chaos. Their best friend comes around, obviously stolen drinks from the pub. It's just a great Christmas episode. Like the family at Christmas kind of coming together, the in-laws having to deal with each other. Yeah. It makes me crack up every time. And I've watched it, you know, every year, probably for the last 10 or 15 years. And every year I look forward to it. It's one of the last things I like to watch just before Christmas.
Oh, that's brilliant. I mean, for me, any Christmas special from Mrs. Brown's Boys, not a lot of people enjoy Mrs. Brown's Boys, which is quite funny. My brother hates it. My wife hates it. But me, my mum and my dad really enjoy it. So we kind of outnumber them slightly. So we can sit down and watch a Christmas special of it. But there was an episode a few years about, I mean, sorry, even going into what you said earlier about Christmas specials being a bit sad and a bit emotional, every Mrs. Brown's Boys Christmas episode and Christmas special has so much laughter and so much comedy in. And then right at the very end, she sits down on her table in her kitchen and gives you this really soppy story about the world today. And you're like, oh.
Yeah. A little bit of sadness. Yeah, there's got to be a Christmas British thing. I don't know why Christmas British does that so much. Like American shows never do it, the American Christmas shows. No. They're just joy, 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 joy.
Yes.
But the British ones, there's always a moment where there's something a bit sad or a bit of a moment between the family members or something.
Have they seen our weather? Our weather in the summertime is sad. So we kind of
the
theme.
We're a bit bleak over here. Like, again, Fairy Tale of New York, you know, that's a bleak song, but it's beautiful. It's what we like.
It's you know, the funny with that song, it's like, it's such a contrast of like style. It's such a bleak song. The words in it are so depressing and so sad and so upsetting and so derogatory in some respects, if they haven't bleeped it out by that point. But the actual music and the anthem behind it is so upbeat and so uplifting that it just completely and utterly contrasts each other.
Exactly.
And
that's when one it all kicks off in that song.
Yeah, exactly. And you know,
have any drunken memories of being in a pub with that song at the very end of the night and everyone just like up on their feet singing along and, you know, jumping about?
I mean, I've said it again, I've alluded to it before, but my mum's birthday is actually Christmas Day. So, you know, it's perfect. But I remember one year we done a surprise. I think it was for her, I want to say it was for her 50th birthday. That was, God, you know, we're going back about 16, 17 years now, but I'm sure it was for her 50th. And we did a surprise birthday for her. And then towards the end of the evening, all the family around, a lot of people were drunk. I wasn't old enough, I don't think, to drink by that point. But that song came on and it was like everybody just got up onto the dance floor, you know, kind of arm in arm, like an old Lang Syne type, you know, procession, singing that song. And it was just beautiful. And it was actually really cool. And that was probably one of the real big memories I have of a, you know, extended family, you know, the kind of family you only see at Christmas. But that kind of arrangement, and also... just being joyful and in the moment with them. But going back to TV specials, I mean, again, I've alluded to loads of times, but there's and it's not a UK, so apologies, but it's the Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra Christmas special from 1957.
Oh yeah, I think I've watched that before a while back.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I've got it downloaded to my phone, absolutely legally, of course, but you know, I sit there and I can watch it 5, 6, 7 times a year. Every now and then I'll just like think, oh, what can I watch right now, and then I'll just stick it on and watch it, and it's just it's kind of awkward sometimes.
Give you those feels.
Yeah, exactly. I'm on the train and there's like, you know, in the middle of the summertime for whatever summer we have, but sat there watching Frank Sinatra decorate his Christmas tree.
Nothing like it. That's what I want to hear.
Exactly. But I will wrap it up and just ask final question: what does a merry Britsmas Christmas day look like?
Well, for me, again, if I go for my home Christmas, because I've been spending, you know, with the in-laws now, married, so different Christmases. But in my family home, we definitely wake up quite early. First things first, open presents. That's the first step of Christmas Day. We go straight down to the tree. When we were younger, we'd have stockings at the end of our bed, take the presents, open them all up with each other. Maybe, you know, have a cup of tea as we do that and put some Christmas music on. Then a Christmas breakfast, usually something a bit of a treat. Recently, we've been having the last few years, my mom loves bacon and brie sandwiches. So that's always a good Christmas breakfast. Not too heavy, but a little bit indulgent.
Yeah.
And then there's always a bit of a relaxing time in my household then for like an hour or two where we're kind of just chilling, you know, getting sort of ready for the day ahead. And then quite often now we sort of switched to go to my sister's house for Christmas Day. She's got a big house and she's got my nephews, a bit younger. My brother will come over. And then it's a day of games, basically. And my household are quite competitive. So the games can become difficult. There have been a few Christmas arguments over the years. I've been involved in some of those over the years, I have to admit. Yep. Of various different Christmas board games and video games and silly games and quizzes before Christmas dinner, just to, you know, get us all angry before we eat. And then after Christmas dinner, usually we just get drunk.
I mean,
the last couple of Christmas, as I can remember, dancing around my sister's, like, she's got like an island in her kitchen, and just dancing around that with like a party hat with a crown on, you know, being absolutely stupid, listening to Christmas music and our favorite songs. It's just a, you know, celebration of family, really, is what it's like for me. And arguing and drinking, as is tradition in Britain.
I was going to say, I reckon you've just described every UK household Christmas.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what we need. That's what
you're. You know, you were reeling off the list of things that you do, and it was like, yep, that's me. Yes, that's me. I mean, I don't drink, so I don't include the drink. But I'm like, everything else is like, yeah, that's me. I mean, my wife has, you know, still gives me a Christmas stocking at the end of the bed every Christmas morning before we go down to my mum's.
Nice.
Because I've got two girls myself, so we kind of like, it's quite funny. We have three stockings, two for them, one for me. And it's just like, I'm like, to my wife, do you want a Christmas stocking? If you do, you do. She's like, no, you can have the Christmas stocking. I was like, thank you very much. I was like, as long as you don't take it away from me. But yeah, I mean, it's funny you say about the games. I feel like over the years when I've grown up as well, we used to play games all the time, every week, and then it's like slowly petered out, and it's like the older we got, it was like quick, wicked Christmas Day, games day.
Yeah, that's the day to,
you know, that's the only day. Yeah, exactly. It's quite funny, but like similar, we're very competitive in my household. It's more so, my wife would say it's more so me than anybody else in the family. Like I get really angry, even at my kids. I mean, my daughter's three, and I'm like, hey, no cheating. Listen, yeah, it's no cheating.
I'll flip this board.
Absolutely. And you will not be, yes. But yeah, so I will wrap it up there. And thank you again for joining me on the podcast. I do appreciate it. So
it was lovely to chat. Yeah, really nice to chat.
What have you got coming up, and where can everybody find you?
So yeah, my podcast is Merry Britsmas. You can find me, I'm on a range of podcast apps, and I'm also on Instagram, Facebook, and whatever Twitter's called, X, just Merry Britsmas. You can follow me, I post stuff. I like to post merry moments each day, links to my podcast. I've got a few episodes coming out in December, including a special one about some British Christmas music that's new this year. And I'm also still in the process of doing my big Christmas number one showdown on my podcast. I'm trying to get people to vote on social media for the best number one Christmas song over the years. At the moment, in the top, I think we're in the top nine now, and you've got tracks like The Beatles, The Spice Girls, Slade, Mud. So there's a good selection of stuff. So voting is still ongoing and will be through December. So yeah, get voting on Merry Britsmas for that.
Brilliant. I mean, if the Pogues aren't involved anymore, that it's just a null and void competition.
No, sorry.
Yeah, it's out then, it's out.
It was the public. It's the public.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm not going to say that they don't know what they're talking about, but... cool. Thank you very much again. Yeah, and we'll speak soon, definitely.
Thank you much. Cheers, Chris.
Cheers. Thank you to Adam from Merry Britsmas for joining us on the show today. Now, back to the episode, and in terms of covers, there have been several renditions over the years with various artists coming together for different charitable causes. Notable versions include Band Aid 2 in 1989. And Band Aid 20 in 2004. There was also a 30-year anniversary version released, which included artists like Seal, Chris Martin from Coldplay, and also Ed Sheeran. The original release of Do They Know It's Christmas raised substantial funds for famine relief. The subsequent versions continued to contribute to charitable causes. The money raised went to the Band Aid Trust, which distributed funds to various organisations working towards alleviating hunger and poverty. The original Band Aid recording took place at Sarn West Studios in London on November 25th, 1984. The artists involved came straight from their own recording sessions, making it a unique and spontaneous collaboration. Do They Know It's Christmas Time achieved the coveted Christmas number one spot on the UK singles chart in 1984 and held that position for five consecutive weeks. It became one of the best-selling UK singles ever. the Live Aid Connection. Bob Geldof, one of this song's creators, also organised the historic Live Aid concert in 1985. Many of the artists who participated, Do They Know It's Christmas, also performed at Live Aid, creating a powerful connection between the two events, which at the time included the event in Philadelphia. The success of Do They Know It's Christmas inspired the creation of other charity singles such as We Are the World in the United States. The idea, which brought together a diverse group of artists for a common cause, became a template for subsequent charitable efforts. In 2014, the new version titled the song Do They Know It's Christmas was released as Band Aid 30 to mark the 30th anniversary of the original recording. This version aimed to raise funds to combat the Ebola virus epidemic. And as we reach this year, well, next year will be the 40th anniversary in 2024. There hasn't been much word rather than whether or not they're going to do a 40th anniversary release. And who knows if they would, you know, the previous three have had all its own success in its own right. Number one, the original still stands out as the all-time favourite, I believe. Number two and number three, as successful as they were, just didn't hit the heights of the first one as... And I say hit the heights as if it's not a charitable single. So, you know, there's not really much heights to hit other than to raise awareness. And, well, you know, that's it for another episode. Thank you once again for Adam from Merry Britsmas for joining me today. And thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you for joining me on this journey through the history and impact of the song. The power of music that brings people together for a common cause, especially at Christmas, is more poignant than ever. And while I leave you for another episode, I do encourage you to reflect on the enduring message of compassion and the impact that collective efforts, like those seen in the creation of this song, can have on addressing global issues. The song's message remains relevant today, just as it did then. With everything going on in the world today, between Russia and the Ukraine, between Israel and Palestine, we always must find some sort of peace within this. As always, you can find me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Christmas Talks. That's KRISTMAS Talks. And on the Christmas Podcast Network, joining Adam and Merry Britmas in the best in Christmas podcasts from around the world. And me. Stay tuned for the rest of the upcoming season. And until next time, guys, take care. Bye-bye.
It's Christmas time. No need to be afraid. At Christmas time, we let in light.